Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. My name is Kate Spencer.
And my name is Dori Shafrir.
Why did I do it that way?
Look, I don't know, but you know, I like when you mix it up, Kate.
Well, I'm glad, Dori. Look, we got to keep people on their toes. We've been doing this podcast now for almost 4 years.
I know. Oh my gosh. Wow. We're like seniors. We're seniors.
Oh my God. We're about to.
It's our senior year. Yeah.
It's the senior year of the 90210 episode senior year. That was such a wild year on 90210. The Orridge. Don't give me any of that new stuff.
Oh, of course. The Orridge. Donna Martin will graduate. And
Donna Martin will graduate.
I mean, look.
Kelly and Dylan get together after the Paris trip. I mean, what?
We will be hanging out on the steps of the quad. That was where all the Brookline High seniors hung out.
The steps of the quad.
Yeah.
Oh, you sound so cool.
I mean, look, if you were not a senior, you'd better not even get near that wall, okay?
The steps of the... Were people smoking at your high school?
You weren't allowed to smoke in the quad, but you could smoke literally like...
Two steps away
from school grounds. Yes. So there was a park across, like a park and playground across the street from our school, and people would just go. I mean, the playground was kind of farther back, so people weren't like smoking in the playground, but people would go across the street and just smoke like on the benches. And then there was a back entrance to the school that people would smoke like literally like right outside.
Oh my God. 90s high schools.
90s high schools, man.
Okay. Well, listen, back to the podcast that we host.
We're not 2021.
Leaving 1996, coming back to the mid-aughts that we're in.
Oh, gosh.
We're not experts.
I was already graduated by 96. I was gone.
You were in college in 96?
Yeah, I sure was. I graduated high school in 95.
So cool.
We're so old is what we are. But anyway, we are also two old friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
Indeed, we do. Serums from the 90s, hit us up. What were you using?
Were people using serums in the 90s?
I can't imagine.
No.
I don't think so.
I mean, maybe some like super in the know, like beauty editors were, but I feel like serum as a word, like serum as a beauty word was not something that that was like in my vocabulary in the 90s or the aughts.
No.
For that matter.
Only like around 2012-13 was I like, what?
Same.
I can't imagine. My mom had like prescription moisturizer from the dermatologist. That's all I remember. Like, I don't remember anything. I don't remember like a cluttered bathroom counter.
No. I remember we've talked about the Clinique three-step system, which,
always,
you know, was cleanser, toner, moisturizer. There was no serum.
No retinol.
I mean, I used Retin-A in high school for zits, but...
Oh, you did? I did not.
I feel like that was not something that people who were not adolescents were using.
It was just like Anoxema, and then I would like wipe my face with Seabreeze. And then I don't think I put moisturizer on unless I was borrowing like my mom's Clinique moisturizer. I think I just was like drying my face like it was a wet countertop.
Yeah. And like putting freaking Stridex pads on, like Stridex. Our faces, like the goal was for your face to be like a desert.
Can you imagine if we did this podcast in like 1994?
We should do an episode that is just like, you know, those like Twitter accounts that are like tweeting World War II. We should do an episode that's like us in 1994.
Oh my God. That would be really fun because I would just be spritzing CK1 all over myself.
Yeah,
that was basically it.
I mean, I have to like go back and think about what the hell was happening in 1994 in my bathroom.
Well, I had colored elastics on my braces, like different. I would get like different patterns of elastic colors.
Oh, did
you
wow.
Do that with, yeah. Did you do that with braces?
I didn't have braces. That's why I'm doing Invisalign now, because I didn't have braces. God.
That was like the coolest part of having braces is you could do like rainbow rubber bands and stuff.
Oh, that is fun.
Oh, but then you had to like pick in between. I mean, what a life.
What a life.
Seriously. Well, listen, hey, welcome. This is a mini episode where we hear from you. We also talk about our 90s skincare routines and we share your comments and thoughts and we answer your questions to the best of our ability.
Indeed. And please remember, we are podcast hosts, not experts. Maybe experts in the 90s. But we always encourage you to seek support first and foremost from a medical and or mental health professional as needed.
And if you would like to reach us, tell us what you were using on your skin in high school. Just give us your high school skincare routine.
And it can be whether you were in high school in the 90s, the 80s, the aughts, the teens. Like
the 70s, the 60s.
Whenever you were in high school.
Yeah.
Let
Maybe
us know.
You are in high school right now.
Yes.
Educate us on what you're doing. But do that by calling our voicemail or texting us at 781-591-0390 or emailing us at forever35podcast@gmail.com.
And you can visit our website, forever35podcast.com, for links to everything we mentioned on the show. You can follow us on Twitter at forever35pod, on Instagram at forever35podcast. Join the Forever 35 Facebook group at facebook.com/group/forever35podcast. The password over there is serums. And we do have a newsletter at forever35podcast.com/newsletter. The next issue is going out this Thursday. So check your inboxes. And yeah.
Can we circle back? Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. No, go ahead. Circle back.
I was just going to say, like, can we circle back also to like perfumes of the 90s? Like, do you remember the Cindy Crawford Little Richard commercial for, I think it was for Charlie by Revlon?
Yes. Yes.
I can like
yes.
vividly remember Cindy Crawford singing and she like is pretty tone deaf and like, ooh, baby. Like, even perfume was different back then. I don't know.
Yeah.
What a wild time.
Well, you know, I remember, do you remember the advent of Clinique Happy Perfume?
Of course.
That was like, I feel like to me, that was the iconic perfume of the 90s.
What about Elizabeth Arden Sunflowers?
I did not have that, but I'm trying to remember the name. I had a Lancome perfume that I believe is not made anymore. And I'm trying desperately to remember the name. I can picture the bottle.
Okay. Okay.
Wait, no, that wasn't it. I'm looking for it.
She's Googling Lancome perfume 90s right now.
Literally. That's literally what I'm Googling.
That's also what I just did. Was it Poem? My mom used to wear that.
No, it wasn't Poem. Okay. I don't want to take up too much time doing this, but
okay.
Anyway, and of course, the Gap Sense.
Oh my God, the Gap Sense and those little silver metal bottles.
Yes.
And
iconic.
White Musk by The Body Shop, another legend of 90s perfumes.
I did not use that.
What?
I didn't use Legend.
No. White Musk.
A White
was
Musk.
A legend.
Was
legend is not the name of a
I was like, what? White Musk. No, I did not use it. Was it? Oh, I'm looking at this bottle and it looks familiar, but nope, I still can't find it. Anyway,
thank you. Well,
yeah,
I mean,
I occasionally will smell something and it will bring me back to like a certain specific time. Like, this reminds me of like hanging out in front of the movie theater in Cleveland yeah. Circle. You know what I mean?
Did you used to hang out in T stations? That was a thing I did with my friends from like who lived in Newton, Massachusetts. We used to hang out just at the T stations.
Like at the T station? No.
Yeah, just like lurking around Newton T station.
We would often hang out. We would often lurk around the movie theater.
Okay.
Like in the parking lot.
Mobile gas station hanger out or two. That was another spot.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right.
I I do, like, I think I've talked about this on the podcast before, but I can still remember the, like, the excitement and the thrill of buying Debbie Gibson's Electric Youth perfume with my allowance. It was like $8.95. I had to save up for it. And I don't know if that at all resonates with you. I was a huge Debbie Gibson fan. It's the first concert I ever saw. And there was like a pink coil in the middle of the perfume bottle. And like just, it felt so exciting. Like it felt so grown up and like living on the fucking edge.
I did not have that perfume. I'm sorry. I cannot share in this.
Well,
memory.
I'll wear it when we go to the New Kids on the Block tour.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Which we are attending.
Oh yeah. I don't think we've mentioned that we are actually attending this.
Well, because we were recording an episode and all of a sudden I hear like beep, pop, boop, pop, beep. And I'm like, Dory, what? It was coming from Dory's computer. And I was like, what is that? And Dory was like, oh, I'm in the queue for New Kids on the Block. Tickets.
I was like, look, they go on sale at 11. And like, I mean, I'm sorry to like interrupt our recording, but I feel like I must, you know, procure
you got the
these
job
tickets.
Done.
Yeah. I did.
Like Astley, here we come.
Anyway, Kate.
Yes.
Tell me about cleaning your makeup brushes.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, you know how a listener wrote in and was like, are we supposed to be cleaning our makeup brushes? And the obvious answer is yes.
Yes. Uh-huh.
But my answer was like, I've never done that.
Uh-huh. Yep.
So recently, my daughter and I were at Ulta Beauty, our local Ulta Beauty. And I can't even honestly remember why. Oh, you know why we were there? For me to buy acetone to take off the remnants of my gel nails. And I was standing in the very long line to check out and I passed makeup brush cleaners and I just grabbed one. I was just like, you know, when you're in the line and like, of course, you see everything you see. You're like, I should get this. I should get this.
Yes, yes, yes.
But I was like, oh, we just talked about this. I'm going to get makeup brush cleaning gel and actually clean my makeup brushes. And I did it the other night. I didn't clean all of them, but I have like this main blender brush that I use for everything. And I cleaned it with some of this gel.
Mm.
It was like watching, it was like when you pop a zit and the satisfaction you feel when you get, you know, like when it's like blue. Watching the makeup go from like, not, excuse me, watching the makeup come out of the brush, like the brush, the bristles are white. But they're beige from all my, you know, foundation-y makeup.
Yep.
And it just like, the beige just like dribbled out. And now the brush is back to its original color. It was wild.
That,
I was like, oh, I should really have been doing this for the last
that is so satisfying.
It's very satisfying. So I'll link to this cleansing gel because it was like $6 or $7. It was not expensive and it's a nice, good-sized bottle. I didn't need much to wash the brush. It was like one squirt of and rub of the gel and it was a noticeable difference. It was shocking.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I'm someone who cleans their makeup brushes now. So I'm on another level.
I've like, I mean, I don't even know if like I can hang out with you anymore.
Yeah, yeah, no, you're going to be hanging out by the movie theater and I'm going to be hanging out with people who wash their makeup brushes somewhere else.
Wow. Okay. I see how it is.
Well, speaking of Massachusetts, your dad is visiting. How's it going?
My dad is visiting. It's going well. It's, you know, he got in yesterday afternoon and it's good. It's like, you know, it's nice that we are in a place where he feels comfortable coming.
Mm-hmm.
We feel comfortable having a guest who has, you know, just flown in. It's like making me remember those days of like last summer and fall when like that just, you know, just no one was doing it. We couldn't do it. I didn't see my family for quite some time. So yeah, just, you know, just grateful that he's healthy, we're healthy, and we can all be together.
Me too. That's wonderful. Seriously, because it is, even though things do sometimes feel so devastating still and frustrating. Like last October was tough. That was tough. We were like really in it. Things were surging.
Mm-hmm.
We were doing home learning and I hadn't seen it yet. Like, I remember like, because Halloween is coming up and
we tried to
do like all these in your car Halloween activities, which was like very nice. And I'm glad we did it, but it also just still felt sad. And
Yeah, I do remember that.
I know. I'm so grateful that you get to spend time with your dad.
Thank you.
I'm going to call my dad and be like, where are you, man? Get out here.
Aw, get over here, Dad.
Get that booster shot and come out and visit me. Big.
Oh, gosh. Goof. Okay. Miss my dad. Well, look, let us take a break and be right back with some listener emails, texts, voicemails, the whole shebang.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I like to care for my skin, duh. And it's also something that I do love to kind of like get into the research on.
You do have a curious mind.
Look, I have a curious mind. I can't help it.
You do.
But today's sponsor, OneSkin, has made that easy because they do their own fantastic research for their products. In fact, their products are scientifically validated to improve your skin's health while targeting the root cause of aging. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin, and they've got several studies to back it up. They also have an amazing new sunscreen.
Ooh, our favorite.
Our fave. It's the OS1 Shield Protect and Repair SPF 30 Plus. It's got the peptide. It's a mineral sunscreen. It's got antioxidants. It comes in tinted and untinted. I mean, like, what can't this thing do? I'm just saying. I love it. It's so easy to use, and I love that it's just like zoop, and it feels so nice going on. But don't take my word for it. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews and was recently recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands of 2024. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code FOREVER at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code FOREVER. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support your show and tell them we sent you.
So, Dory, we've received a really interesting question that is geared towards my life experiences, but also seeking your thoughts.
Oh boy. All right, here we go.
My mom was killed in an accident when I was 22. I'm 30 now, and my dad got remarried a few years ago in 2017. So listening this summer to the pod with Kate, visiting her family in New Hampshire, just hearing Kate talk about the fact that she was visiting her dad and stepmom, I had the same thoughts, you know, every time she said the word stepmom. I am wondering, as an adult, when your dad got remarried, how you chose to call his wife stepmom. I mean, I have so many nosy questions. Like, is she, do your kids consider her your their grandmother? I just, in my life, I have no desire or interest in a relationship with my dad's wife other than, you know, with her as my dad's wife. She came into my life when I was an adult. There's no particular reason I, you know, feel like I need a close relationship with this person. And I'm not someone who tries to make, who feels like I need to be close to everyone in my life. And so my dad's wife, for example, has a daughter, and my dad calls her daughter's daughter, my niece sometimes in texts. And I really bristle at that. I have only met this person once, in my life. You know, I had never been to, I did not go to this person's wedding. I did not go to their baby shower. I live 500 miles away, and I just have a very different, I think, life and values, from these people. And I'm just curious, I guess, what stepmother means to you, to other listeners. I kind of worry, like, my sociopath for not feeling I need a relationship with, you know, these people. It's something I've talked about with my therapist from time to time, but I really just have the conviction that I am not obligated to be close to these people. And the only, you know, motivating factor I would have is fear of not being liked, which is not a way to live my life. I'm not going to let that lead any decisions or anyway, it's kind of a lot. I would love to hear listener thoughts, Kate thoughts, story thoughts, any good thoughts about these kinds of things.
Oh boy.
There is a lot to work through here.
Yeah. I'm going to let you take the lead on this one.
Well, I first want to just acknowledge the pain and grief that this listener has experienced and is continuing to experience. Losing a parent is, I don't want to say it's just the tip of the iceberg, but it's a massive trauma that then sets off further traumas. And I, you know, and it changes the trajectory of everything in your life. No matter what the relationship was with that parent, I had a really good relationship with my mom. Other people have very toxic relationships with their moms. It doesn't make the grief easier or harder either way. It's all a shit show. And what I hear, listener, and you didn't say this, so I might be projecting. I could be way off base. But what I wonder in the underlying question is, are you afraid of your mom being erased? And are you feeling protective of her and her memory? And are you feeling like you, in this, like, I have felt this way, but not realized I've been feeling this way. And look, I wrote a whole book about this if you ever want to, like, dig into my own psychological journey losing my mom. But I went through some stuff where, like, after in therapy, I was like, oh, I think I'm just angry that my mom is not, like, I'm afraid people aren't going to, like, remember her, or, like, they're not respecting her. And I have to be the one to, like, withhold this boundary. Because, I mean, to answer your question about my stepmother, my dad and my stepmom started dating about a year after my mom died. That was very hard for me. I was like, I was devastated when my dad started dating, but I also understood it as an intellectual person, but also it's easier to understand than to, like, so, and some people are totally cool with it, but for me, it was hard. But I call my stepmom because I don't, that's just the easiest word. I mean, I could say like my dad and his wife, or like, you know, I could also say that, but it's just as easy to call her my stepmom. I don't have an attachment to the word, and I don't, it doesn't, to me, she doesn't, it doesn't replace my mom, and she doesn't replace my mom. I really lucked out in the stepmom department, and my stepmom is, I mean, she's wonderful, and she's great about coexisting with the memory of my mom in a way that, like, I think if she's like the example of like grace and also like selfish, like confidence in self. Like, she's so gracious about just sharing space with my mom's memory. There are still photos of my mom. We talk about my mom. We can joke and laugh and remember her. And she like knows all my mom's family. Like, she's just kind of like, you know, a real gem. And yes, my kids do call, know that she is their grandmother, but they also know that my mom is their grandmother. And my husband's mom is dead, and he has a stepmother. And they also know that she is their grandmother, and that they also have another grandmother who's not alive. So, you know, I incorporate all of them. But for, you know, all intents and purposes, my stepmom and my mother-in-law are there. They are grandmothers. They are amazing with my kids. I mean, they're just, I could cry talking about it. So as for do you do whatever you want, but I don't think you have to be best friends with these people, but I do think it is something to think about. Do you want to have a cordial and respectful relationships with them? Because in doing so, I think it is respecting the relationship that your father has with these people. And that, in a way, is honoring and nurturing the relationship you have with your dad. And that was a hard thing I had to work through, where it was like, my dad wants to be with this person. My dad's in love, and he has every right to be. And am I gonna support him and then take my grief and sadness and anger and express it? You know, like, I can still have those things. That's all still valid. It's all still valid for you to feel. But can you also find a way to have whatever a relationship looks like to you with these people? Again, you don't have to be best friends. You don't have to like buy them holiday presents. If these people are not like hurting you in any way, perhaps your world can become brighter, like by opening it up to more people. They are not, nobody is ever going to replace your mom. Ever. And you're not going to let that happen. I might cry. I feel really cryy all of a sudden. It's just so hard. And I can like hear the pain in this person's voice, yeah. And I understand it. And it shit takes a long time. I mean, the first time I met my stepmom, I thought I was going to throw up. I like bought a whole new outfit. Not to like impress. And then I found out she was nervous. You know, then my dad was like, oh, well, she, and I hadn't even thought about her feelings. You know, like, I was like, oh, she's fine. No, she was nervous. Anyway, I've said too much, but did any of that sound like an answer to this person's question, Dory?
Yes. I mean, okay. I completely agree with you. I think there was a lot of subtext and undercurrents running through that voicemail that made me sad. And I think you're right. Like, this person doesn't have to have any sort of relationship. And I don't think that makes, listener, I don't think that makes you a sociopath.
No, not at all.
But I guess I would just like gently challenge you to think about like, what do you lose by not allowing yourself to be open to the prospect of a relationship with this person? And what do you lose in your relationship with your dad? So, I mean, I have not been through this, and so I defer to Kate's wisdom and unfortunate expertise on this topic. But I will say that I picked up on, you know, everything that Kate was mentioning. And I sense a lot of sadness and anger. And so I hope that you can find peace in, you know, whatever you decide to do.
Yeah. And it never goes away. You know, I've been talking to a friend today who also lost their mom like 13 years ago. My mom died 14 years ago. And I'm still like, I still on a daily basis, I'm like mad about my kids. Like, you know, oh my God, the other day, my 8-year-old was like, do you think, she's like, do you think Martha would have liked me? That's my mom.
Aww.
I almost died. Now I'm really going to cry. I was like, oh my God, of course. But like, that's such a grief that I carry with me, you know, that
yeah.
but on the same token, I'm so glad my kids have my stepmom.
Yeah.
You know, but oof, yeah. Boy, that was a killer. So it never goes away. Yeah, that was rough. That was a rough one. What if also I had been like, definitely not. What if I had fucked with my, like,
oh God.
I'm trying to not laugh because I'm crying.
Yes, but, of course.
Yeah, it's hard. It's never easy. It's never going to be easy. And I just, I see you. Whew. I'm glad we got that question, though. I heard that voice memo and I was like, oh, baby.
Yeah.
This is a rough one. This is tough. Been there.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Let's change gears.
Okay.
Oh, but also I would say, Dory, I would be interested in hearing from step-parents on this, like people who are step-parents.
Mm,
because yeah. As mentioned, like that was not a point of view I considered. I'd never, it took me a long time to take my stepmom's life experiences in this
yes.
situation into consideration.
And especially step-parents to people whose parents have died.
Yeah. And adults like
yeah.
coming in and I was like a salty 29-year-old.
Yes, yes, yes.
Really good perspective. I want to say, my stepmom has amazing kids.
Oh.
Unrelated, but she's got...
Just saying.
She is a son protector. She is so good about it. Okay.
Whew.
Okay. Okay. Text message. I started a new job and I'm struggling a lot. I'm essentially the marketing person at a university and my employers are well-meaning, but they're also theater professors who don't understand marketing and the scope of my job is unrealistically broad and unsustainable. Excuse me. This is why the person before me left. Do I really need to wait a year before applying for something else? I was in my last role for almost a decade, so I'm hoping I wouldn't appear as a job hopper if I was to leave earlier. On the one hand, I know this is an opportunity to create order out of the chaos and to rise above the challenge, On the other hand, I miss being on a functional and thriving team. Thoughts?
Well, first, the first thing I would say is like we're in the midst of a seismic shift, I would say, in the labor market. People are quitting jobs left and right. I don't think anyone would like look askance at you leaving a job before a year was up, especially in this job market, which is the first thing. The second thing I would say is like, do you think this is salvageable? Like, is there a world where you have a real like come to Jesus conversation with your employers and you're like, look, this is not sustainable. This is why the person before me left. If you want to keep me, this is what you're going to have to do, whether it's hire another person, change the scope of your job, et cetera, and like see how they respond. So you might want to like give them that opportunity if you feel like this is something that you want to potentially salvage for yourself, not because you feel like you should stay. And then, so I would say, if you don't want to do that, then go forth and find a new job. If you do want to do that, I would say give yourself give yourself a time limit and say, whether you articulate that to them or you don't, maybe it's 3 months, maybe it's 6 months. And then if things don't get better in that time, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Life is too short. Like, we don't need to waste our time on jobs where we are not appreciated and nurtured and, you know, given opportunities for growth. And life is too short.
What Dory said. I also think, like, our generation and the generations behind us, this whole idea of, like, being a job hopper is a bad thing does not exist to millennials and Generation Z. I don't think so.
Totally.
It still is lingering in Gen X because that is how we were conditioned.
Yes.
But the people coming behind us, Dory, this is not, I don't think this is a negative quality. And I remember once I was so miserable in a job, I was having panic attacks every day and not sleeping. And I was like so worried about quitting. And my dad was like, I forget the example that he gave me, but he was like, this guy, like, I know, like, this guy got like a CEO position of like a massive corporation, like Coca-Cola, and he left after 2 weeks to go take another job. Like, it's fine if you, the production associate, hits the road. And I was like, and the other thing my dad told me that has really stuck with me, he was like, they would lay you off in 2 seconds without like worrying about any of this shit. So you can, like, it's a transactional relationship here. You don't actually owe them anything. You know, like, think about it that way. They can lay you off at any time.
Yeah.
So if it is not working for you and they can't meet your demands, then you give them your notice and you hit the road, as long as that financially works for you.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Let's take a break, and then we've got two voicemails, shall we?
Okay, yeah, okay. Let's do it.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
All right, we are back. Mm-hmm. Here is a voicemail for you, Kate.
Mm-hmm. Hi, guys. It's Katie Shinden, and I had to pause the pod. So exciting. Because Kate, you just referred to yourself. You said, I write romance. You were talking about things you read. And you're looking for a new book, and you said you read lots of romance. And I just was so happy to hear you say, I write romance. Right? You are. You are an author of romance novels. And that just made me feel really happy to hear you acknowledge that. And none of this just podcast host that we used to do, the self-deprecating stuff of the past. You write romance. Love ya.
Our life coach called in with a message to not just me, I would say to all of us.
Katie, I should say, is a longtime egghead also and Forever 35 listener and wonderful human. So thank you, Katie, for calling in.
Yeah, and thank you for believing in me, Katie. It makes me feel good.
Well, let's hear another voicemail.
Hey, Kate and Dory. I think I just butt dialed you for about 20 seconds, which I have no idea because I haven't called in recently or texted recently, but, you know, I just had to follow up and leave a real voicemail that it just like brought so much joy to my day that I'm at the grocery store at Hy-Vee and I saw I was butt dialing you of all people. So I hope you're having a great day. It is finally fall in Kansas City and I'm going to go make a dope ass chicken wild rice soup recipe. Have a good day. Bye.
They did butt dial us. It was about a 20-second butt dial. I listened to the whole thing. And can you just call back or email us with the recipe for that soup?
Oh, yeah.
Does that sound good? A dope-ass wild rice chicken soup?
Mm-hmm.
Can you please provide? That would be amazing. Thank you for calling. I just thought this was a real treat of a message.
Thank you, listener.
Well, look, as usual, we've gone on a journey from starting talking about Dory hanging out at a movie theater as a teen to me crying to now ending on a butt dial. We've done it all.
We have really run the gamut.
Thank you all so much for listening. We will talk to you later.